But we are plunging ahead into 2013 with anticipation. So actually, that's the message this morning, is building anticipation for 2013. What are you anticipating for this coming year? And that's very important. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to worship the Lord with our giving. So just take a couple minutes. This is kind of the final opportunity to give in the 2012 year. So we want to just take a couple minutes to prepare our tithes and our offerings this morning and worship God with our giving. Amen.
But I felt this morning that we need to open up our hearts to His goodness in our lives, that as we're walking forward, our hearts are open to Him. And as I'm standing in worship today, I was just thinking about just having my hands raised to the Lord. And you know, it just helps me to open up my heart to the Lord when I raise my hands like that and open up my hands to the Lord to receive His goodness. And so anticipate the goodness of God. And Psalm 23 talks about His goodness and His unfailing love following us all the days of our life. And we need to just allow that to become a reality in our thinking. God, Your goodness is following me all the days of my life. So let's anticipate His goodness this year. All right, so let's pray over our children. Okay, Joy and Grace, you want to come up here? Okay, all right, let's just pray. Lord, we just thank You so much for these little ones. And Lord, they just have such an anticipation of their future that it is going to be good. Help us, Lord, to open up our hearts to You and anticipate the good things that You have for us for this next year. Thank You that, Lord, You pour it out richly. You don't withhold. And Lord, You don't just give us a trickle, but Lord, You want to pour it out upon our lives, Lord, so that it can be poured through us, Lord, to those that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Lord, just thank You for Your goodness today. Bless these kids, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, there they go. See ya. We're going to start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. If you didn't get a Christmas card from me this year, sorry about that. I was really slow getting them done and handing them out last week on Christmas Eve Sunday. So I probably have one with your name on it, but Christmas is kind of over now. If you're on Facebook, I sent out about 300 or 400 Facebook Christmas cards. Those are inexpensive. You just have to push the button once you get it organized. But you have to push the button like about 600 times. It takes a while. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. I'm talking about building anticipation for 2013. And Elaine was right. You know, children have a natural sense of anticipation. You just watch them at Christmas and see what their anticipation. You know, I think it was Logan, he's a 3-year-old. He says, "Wow, look at that. That's exactly what I wanted." And that was like, he hadn't actually opened the box yet. "That's exactly what I wanted." It was so sweet. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen to the glory of God through us." The Amplified Bible says it this way. It says, "For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes their answer in Him, Christ. For this reason, we also utter the Amen, so be it, to God through Him, in His person and by His agency, to the glory of God. The NIV Bible says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Father, we just thank You for Your word this morning. And Lord, we thank You that Your word is bread to our soul, Lord. It's life, it's light. Lord, we just pray today, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that You guide us into truth, Lord. Let Your word, Lord, build in strength and faith in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm talking about building anticipation or having a holy anticipation for 2013. Do you know that anticipation is an important part of faith? We tend, however, to anticipate things often based on past experiences. And so while those children have that positive sense of anticipation over the years in life, we tend to have some negative experience and some disappointments and some discouragements and some places where we've misstepped or, somehow missed it. And so our anticipation level is kind of tempered. It kind of goes down. We kind of get wet blanketed a bit somewhere along the way on the road of life. And God wants to restore our sense of anticipation. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, unless you become again as a little child, you won't enter the kingdom. And so that little child just simply believes and simply anticipates and simply reaches out for and receives the good things of God. And so we need to learn again to anticipate based not on past experiences or, you know, what happened in 2012 or what happened in 2010 or what always seems to happen. But we need to learn to anticipate based on God's promises and based on God's covenant. When what we believe becomes more substantial than what we see, then what we believe will become what we see. When what we believe becomes more real to us than just what we see, then what we believe will become what we see. You see, our faith is a powerful force, but it needs to be nurtured. It needs to be protected. It needs to be developed to bring forth its mature fruit. Now, I want to say today that our anticipation for 2013 as believers is that we will experience more and more of the full blessings of the new covenant in Christ. The Bible says we're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so we can anticipate that we will receive and we will walk in more and more of our covenant inheritance as believers. So this morning, I just want to focus on 10 things that we can anticipate and experience as blessings of the new covenant. 10 things that we can anticipate and believe and experience in 2013 that come from the new covenant. And so our new covenant experience, first, the first blessing, and the one, I guess, that's the most obvious, the one that we all know, is just the blessing of forgiveness. The blessing of forgiveness. When Jesus went to the cross, He was nailed to the cross. But along with Jesus, all of our guilt was nailed to the cross. It was hammered to the cross. The Bible says the handwriting of ordinances, all those things that were against us, that kept us in a state of guilt or condemnation, all of that was nailed to the cross with Christ so that we could experience forgiveness. Jesus took our guilt. He took all of our guilt so that we could experience freedom from it. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this, in Him, it's talking about Jesus now, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So in Christ, he says, we have forgiveness. We have forgiveness of sins. And then he says it's according to the riches of his grace. It's not, it's not measured out in small portions, but it's poured out from the riches of his grace. How many know that Jesus is rich in grace? The Bible says that Jesus came and he was full of grace and truth. And so he pours out his forgiveness to his people. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the result of redemption is forgiveness. It's freedom from guilt and peace with God. You see, guilt is tormenting. Guilt is oppressing. But in Christ alone, we have full freedom from guilt, and we have peace in relationship with God, and peace as a result of the presence of God in our lives. And so because we have peace with God, the alienation, the dissonance, the discord in our relationship with God has been evaporated because of the cross, because Jesus took the full punishment for our sin, gives us the forgiveness of sin, and so we're free. We're free from guilt. And because we have peace in relationship with God, and we have peace as a result of the presence of God in our life, we can relax, we can enjoy his presence in our lives, we can enjoy God at work in our heart and soul and mind, we can enjoy what it means to have fellowship with God. Our mind is kept sound by the peace of God. So in a time of stress, you can say this, by the blood of Jesus, I command the peace of God to flood my mind and saturate my heart. Peace is all over me. The shalom, or the peace of God, shall be my daily experience in Jesus Christ. So the first blessing that we can walk in 2013 from the new covenant is the blessing of forgiveness. That we can enjoy being forgiven. And you don't have to feel guilty about being forgiven. Did you get that? You don't have to feel guilty about being forgiven. You didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, but you got it. You can just enjoy it. You know when those little kids get those gifts on Christmas Day? They don't say, I didn't hear them say, I'm unworthy of this. I'm unworthy of this. Grandpa, I want to give this back to you because I'm unworthy. There was no such words came out of their mouth. They just say, wow. They just said, wow. And then they said, what's next? Let's open the next one. Can we open another one? Yeah. We need to be able to receive God's forgiveness like a little child. Say, God, thank you. I receive it. And then you know what? Because there's peace that comes with it. Say, God, I enjoy it. I enjoy you and your presence. I enjoy the fact that I have been brought back into relationship with God, that I have fellowship with my Father, that I belong in his presence, that I can rest there and enjoy the forgiveness as the blessing of the new covenant. The second blessing we should anticipate more of in 2013 is the new covenant blessing of healing. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4, it says this. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah chapter 53 is the messianic chapter that deals with Christ's suffering. He says, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Those two words, griefs and sorrows, are also translated sicknesses and pains. And so on the cross, Jesus bore our sicknesses. He dealt with the sin issue, but he also dealt with the issue of sickness and the neediness of the human soul, our pains, or our griefs, our mental sorrows, and our pains. That word, when it says he bore our griefs, he has borne our griefs, That word born is like the scapegoat of Israel. At certain times, they would have a session where they would take the sins of the people, and the priest would lay his hands upon a little goat and transfer the sins and the iniquities of the people onto the head of this goat. And then they would take the goat out into an uninhabited area, and they would let him go off into the wilderness where he would never be seen again. In the same way, Jesus bore our sins, and he bore our sicknesses and our griefs and our pains. All of our sins and iniquities, all of our sins and griefs, our sicknesses and pains were taken by Christ. And the Lamb of God bore them all. They're transferred to him, and then they're never to be found again. When we're struggling with things in life, when we're experiencing sicknesses or pains and griefs, some of that may be mental and emotional, we can take that to the cross and transfer it to the Lamb of God and lay it on him, because he took it already at the cross in our behalf. And so he says, by his stripes we're healed. So we can experience the new covenant blessing of healing. In the new covenant, there's healing. There's a healing grace. In redemption, by his stripes, the wounds that he took, we're healed. And the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he gives to the church, is the healing grace of God. The healing grace and the miracle grace of God. The new covenant blessing of healing is something we should anticipate more of in 2013. The third new covenant blessing is the new covenant blessing of righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says this: for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says this, it says our sin is transferred to Christ, or was transferred to Christ at the cross, and his righteousness is transferred to us. Righteousness can be defined as right standing in special favor and honor before God without any fear of judgment or reproach. Do you want me to repeat that? Sure you do. Righteousness is right standing in special favor and honor before God without any fear of judgment or reproach. We need to develop in the Christian church a mentality of righteousness consciousness. One of the things that the church often has excelled at is a mentality of guilt consciousness. We know how to confess that we're sinners. You know, the Bible says that we need to be in a state of confessing our sins to him, so that we can be cleansed and washed. But the Bible says that we're a new creation in Christ. We're not just the old sinner. We're a new man. And that man is created in Christ Jesus to righteousness and to holiness. And so Christ became sin for us. When God looked at Christ on that cross, he saw sin. And Jesus became sin, he says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so the righteousness of Christ is transferred to us. So when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of the Son of God. And that's what makes us welcome in his presence. We need to develop the mentality of righteousness consciousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That mentality, that righteousness mentality, is the basis of boldness and the essence of strong faith. When you know that you've been made righteous, and when you know that you're right with God and you're forgiven and your sins are cleansed and washed, you can stand in that righteousness declaring that I'm the righteousness of God, I'm an heir of God, I'm a joint heir of Jesus Christ. There's a boldness that comes, there's a strength that comes to your faith. Because the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. I mean, how bold was Jesus? If you want to see how bold righteousness can become, Jesus was bold as you can get. He stood in the midst of some of the most legalistically, religiously correct people in the world, and he said to them, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" And nobody said anything. Jesus was righteous. He knew that he was right with God. He knew that he was right with the Father. He also knew that he was going against the grain. But he was as bold as a lion. See, righteousness is the root of holy boldness. Righteousness is the root of boldness in your faith. Righteousness is the root of boldness in prayer. It enables you to be bold and aggressive in the purpose of God. It enables you to be bold and aggressive in prayer. We need to anticipate growing and walking in the righteousness of God in 2013. The fourth thing that we should anticipate is the new covenant blessing of the abundant life in Christ. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said this. He said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus recognized that the enemy was at work in the world. But the scripture says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy." That word "destroy" also means to undo the works of the evil one. So Jesus came to make a difference where the enemy had been making the wrong kind of a difference. Jesus came to make the right kind of a difference. And he said, "I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Do you think that Jesus expected to be effective? He absolutely did. Jesus knew that he had not come in vain. Jesus knew that his message was going to make a difference in people's lives, and that difference would be taking them from a life of bondage and oppression into a life of freedom and victory and triumph in Christ, a life that he describes as life more abundantly. See, Jesus came to give people real life. He came to make them really alive, a life that's rich, a life that's full of meaning, a life that's full of purpose and peace. Now, he didn't say there wouldn't be any trials or difficulties. You know, he said to the disciples, he said, "In the world you will have tribulation." But that was not the end of the sentence. That's only half a sentence. He says, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Which means that you're going to overcome. Because I overcame, you are going to be overcomers. So even though you might face times and seasons of difficulties and trials, yet he inevitably prepares a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. Even in the trials, his goodness shows up. His grace shows up. And even though at times you just like kind of wish the trial away, he can give you grace in the midst of it. So that even through the trials, you can say, "I have life more abundantly." It's God's goodness and God's grace that gives us this abundant life in Christ. Gloomy and depressing days do not belong to you. Overflowing abundance in Christ is your covenant blessing and inheritance. In 2013, we should anticipate more of that covenant blessing of abundant life in Christ. Fifthly, we should anticipate the new covenant blessing of honor. Jesus, the Bible says, endured our shame so that we could receive his honor. Jesus was shamed at the cross. He was shamed before the world at the cross. But what he was taking our shame so that he could give to us his honor. And Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7 says, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. God promises to his people something other than shame. He says, I took the shame. I want to remove the shame from off of your life and give you honor, give you a place, a blessing and favor. Because Jesus bore the judgment of God, we can enjoy the light of God shining upon our lives. It says he's going to lift up, when it says that God is going to lift up his countenance to you, it means he's looking on you with favor. He's looking on you, smiling at you. He's smiling down on you. Someone was, I can't remember where I saw this. I learned things here and there. But they said, look, one of the things that the parent has the ability to do is when they have joy in their children, they trigger something in that child that teaches them to experience joy. And so God looks down and his countenance is looking on you with favor, and he has joy in you as his child, and he's teaching you how to be joyful because you're living in the light of his countenance. The light of his countenance shining on you because he's honoring you. He's not shaming you. He's lifting you out of that shame. He's teaching you the joy of living in his presence. Number six, the sixth blessing is the new covenant blessing and favor of sonship. Sonship. Sonship is God's acceptance of you. Your feeling in life might be that God has rejected you. I was talking to somebody the other day. The other day was yesterday. And was scraping away at the snow out there. And I was choosing to leave some of it for you guys. But then somebody came along and he says, here, let me have that. That's with the shovel that I had. And so he starts shoveling away, and he was better at it than me. So I was happy to have him come along. And so we got all this snow stuff completed. But as I was talking to him, he was talking about how he felt like, you know, God had abandoned him. He felt like God wasn't listening to his prayers, and he was kind of mad at God, and he was, you know, every few minutes, you know, we'd stop and we'd talk for a few minutes, and he'd tell me different things that was going on in his life, and he'd tell me a little bit about how he was mad at God and how he felt like God was rejecting him. And in the end, I didn't know exactly how to solve his problem, because I didn't have, you know, it just wasn't the setting. And all I could tell him is, you know what? God has not stopped loving you. God still loves you. God still cares about you. You need to know, Ron, God loves you. And he cares about you, and he's interested in your life. I prayed for him, and prayed for a situation, the relationship that he's in. But we all need to be reminded that God looks at us and he doesn't reject us, because in Christ he gives to us acceptance and sonship. And when God looked at Jesus, he said about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And even as Christ was a well-pleasing Son, so God expresses his pleasure and his acceptance of his children. The new covenant brings us into that same kind of relationship where we have acceptance as sons. He looks down on us and he says, "They please me." In Ephesians chapter 1, From verse 4 to 6, it says this. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. That's a powerful verse. That's a lot is said in just those few sentences, that we would be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption. God was thinking about us beforehand. He was thinking about us before we were born. He was thinking about us before we came to Christ. He had us in his mind and in his plans. He predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So he, although we serve him, yet we're not just his servants. We're part of his family. See, there's a difference. There's something about family. He says, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You see, Jesus took rejection for us so that we would no longer feel the pains of rejection, even when people express it to us. Because Jesus suffered rejection, he heals our rejection and he gives us the most important acceptance of all, his acceptance. See, you're precious to God. You're the apple of his eye. You're his favorite child. You're his beloved one. And so, in 2013, we anticipate the new covenant blessing and the favor of sonship in our lives. The seventh blessing that we can anticipate in 2013 is the new covenant blessing of abundance and prosperity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So the Bible says that Christ, in coming to the earth, emptied himself of his riches so that he could lavish them on us. Now we know that really we're talking in the main about the spiritual wealth, the wealth of heaven, the wealth of heavenly relationship. But spiritual wealth always overflows into the natural. When God does something in the spiritual, it overflows into the natural. I cannot accept Christ in my life without having that affect everything about me. And so there's an effect that the presence of God and the new covenant has upon every part of your life. God's goodness results in needs met, but not only in needs being met, but in desires being fulfilled. Now, he wants to give us right desires, but he wants to fulfill the desire of our heart. Jesus came to deal with sin and sickness. He also came to deal with poverty and sin and death. All through the scripture, we see that poverty is seen as a curse. It's a result of sin, and it's also a result of oppression. And so while we can't take for granted the fact that we are privileged simply by the fact that we live in North America, we need to enjoy God's prosperity and use it for its intended purpose. Many of the impoverished regions of the world are that way because of evil and despotic political regimes. Where there's godly character and where there are true freedoms, people begin to prosper in otherwise deprived conditions. One of the examples, and it's not as clear as it was maybe 10 or 20 years ago, but the difference in the economy of Hong Kong and mainland China was a phenomenal example of what people can do with next to nothing for property, millions of people in Hong Kong living on next to nothing for land, and yet the prosperity of Hong Kong compared to mainland China, where they had all kinds of property, and of course multiplied millions more people, was phenomenal. I mean, it was where I don't know what the average income now, because China has changed its attitude somewhat. But the difference in per capita income in a free society versus a communistic, oppressive, controlled society was incredible. I mean, we're talking like the difference between a $300 a year annual income to a $10,000 a year. I mean, we're talking about averages now. God wants people to prosper. And we can anticipate that in 2013, we will experience the new covenant blessing of abundance and prosperity. The eighth new covenant blessing is the blessing of newness of life. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, he says this. He says that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In Christ, the Bible says, we're a new creation. The likeness of God is in us through Christ. We need to learn to live in the fullness of that new creation reality, the new life in Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, having made us free from the law of sin and death. See, we're a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. But we have to learn to live in that newness, to live in that new life, to live in that new man, and not let the old man become a part of our lives or a significant factor to us anymore. New covenant principle number 9 is the new covenant blessing of freedom from all curses. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says this: Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. You know, the opposite of cursing is blessing. The Bible says, curse entered the world through sin. And then, when the law came into effect, it pronounced many, many, many types of curses for all kinds of violations. But if you're guilty of one part of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. So all the curses of the law came upon people. But Christ came to redeem us from every curse, from the curse of Adam's sin, from the curse of the law. All of those things were taken by Christ. He became cursed. And then he says here that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the opposite of cursing is blessing. So the believer's life, then the Bible tells us, is blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Okay, let's try that again. You kind of hesitated there. Everybody say, I'm blessed. I am blessed. The Bible says that I'm blessed. It says that the blessing of Abraham comes on me. So through Christ, we are the seed of Abraham. We are the blessed in Christ. Our curses have been taken, and we live in the shadow of the blessing side of Calvary. See, where Jesus hung, he took all of the curses. And so when we stand in the shadow of the cross, we stand in the shadow of a blessing, because the curse has been taken. The curse has been settled. And now I, through faith, am the seed of Abraham, and I'm blessed along with faithful Abraham. We're not living under the curse of failures and defeats. God's plan for our lives is good success. We may experience storms or trials, but these aren't curses. The Bible describes them as light afflictions. temporal things which are subject to change and endure but for a moment while they are working for us an eternal weight of glory. So even the difficulties in life are actually working out things for our good because we're walking in a life of blessing. Never embrace what seems to be a curse, but rather embrace the lot of the blessed. Refuse the lies of teachers or bosses or whoever who may call you stupid or useless, but embrace the wonderful results of being blessed as the seed of Abraham. Expect promotion, expect favor and blessing, expect open doors, new opportunities, and divine favor in life in 2013. Hallelujah. And the 10th new covenant blessing we can anticipate in 2013 is the new covenant blessing of wisdom. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 29, it said, as they were punishing Jesus, it says, when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. See, Jesus Christ took for us the afflictions and the torments of the mind. The Bible says that Christ Jesus is made unto us wisdom from God. Wisdom is more than being smart or intelligent. It's about knowing what to do at the right time. Jesus suffered the pain of poisonous thorns on his head at the cross. And in doing so, he came to give us mental health and wholeness and the wisdom of God in a clear mind for all the decisions and the attitudes of life. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, Paul says this. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so he says here, as the believer, we can walk in and experience the wisdom of God and have the mind of Christ for the issues of life. All of us in 2013 will make important decisions. And for that, God gives us his wisdom. The wisdom of God unties the knots of unsolvable issues. When we look to the cross, we can believe that his wisdom flows to us through the blood that flowed at Calvary. When you don't know what to do, look to the cross of Christ. Anticipate the wisdom of God showing you the way to go, showing you which path to take. When you reach the Y in the road or the X in the road or the triple opportunities, you know, quadruple opportunities, that God will show you which step to take. And then when you take that step, he'll show you the next step to take. And when you take that next step, then he'll show you the next step to take. You know, he says his word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your pathway. And sometimes it's just a step at a time, but sometimes it's all you need is the next step. And then the next one, and then the next one. And sometimes you can see a long way. And that's kind of fun too. That'll be all right. In 2013, we anticipate the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. 2013, you need to build your anticipation. Lots of things are going to happen in the world in 2013. But in the middle of it all, you can anticipate, as a child of God, new covenant blessings to be part of your life, to be part of your portion. And because it's your portion, it's also the message of your life, is the blessing of the new covenant and how to get more people to receive it, to welcome it, and to experience it. In 2013, there are great days ahead for God's people as the glory of the Lord arises on the church. I believe I believe 2013 is a great year for the church. Hallelujah. Let's stand up together. Let's just lift our hands to heaven. Put your hands up in kind of that receiving mode, you know, just like a big bowl. Thank you, Lord. Lord, this morning, we thank you. Thank you for the new covenant in Christ. Lord, what we have experienced, your word says that the angels desire to look into it. They just find it interesting and amazing. All that redemption means, all that the new covenant is about, all the blessings that he's placed upon those that are heirs of salvation, sons and daughters of God, part of his family, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Lord, this morning, we just want to lift up our hearts in anticipation and say, yes, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. As many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes, their answer in him, Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen, so be it to God through him, in his person and by his agency, to the glory of God. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Lord, today, Lord, we anticipate blessing in 2013. Lord, we know there will be difficult days, and we know there will be times when our faith will be tested or tried, but we thank you, God, that while we may have some tribulation, yet you overcame the world. And so, Lord, we thank you that in 2013, you lead us in triumph in Christ. Lord, that you prepare us a table for us, even in the presence of our enemies. God, that we still experience your goodness and your grace and your loving favor. God, we thank you for that. God, just set our course, Lord, in this coming year. Set the attitude of our heart. God, even, Lord, as we speak words of praise, Lord, let from our mouth, let there be words of faith, words of belief, Lord, words of anticipation, Lord, confession of the blessings of God. Lord, as we set our course, like the ship's course is set by the rudder, Lord, so let our course be set. And then, Lord, let our sails catch the wind of your Spirit. And Lord, let us go, Lord, at the speed that you have in mind for us. God, that you'd set our speed, God, not by our own strength, God, but just by the wind of your Spirit, that you'd carry us, Lord, carry us into your purpose in 2013. Lord, for that we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, mighty God.